Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Amen. Good morning, church. Welcome to worship in person, as well as welcome to our online community as we are worshiping together here at First United Methodist at our Brighton campus. I'm Pastor Lindsay Hall, one of the clergy. It's great joy to be with you in worship today. I would invite you, as you received on the way in, a connection card, and I would invite you to fill this out at some moment in the church, worship service time, and then you can place it in the offering plate when it comes time later to our offering. On our connection card, it lets us know that you were here in worship. We love to know that you were here. It also lets us know if there's updated contact information that we should correct or change, as well as the third purpose is it lets us know how you'd like to get better involved into our church community. On the way in, you maybe also received a little yellow card to go with our sermon series on extravagant generosity. Again, take a moment to fill this out, to write a phrase or a sentence, a few things that come to mind. Today's question we're thinking about is, who has inspired my faith journey? And then on the way out of worship today, you'll note the beautiful sunflowers that Susan put together for us. You can put these up on the beautiful sunflowers with that double-sided tape. Last week, we thought about what we love about our church, and today we're thinking about who has inspired me in the faith journey. Well, I'd invite you now to stand as you feel comfortable as we join together in worship and praise to God.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, be with us in worship today. Sometimes events of this world can get us down, and we have trouble living our best life for you. Lift us up with words of song and praise. Hear our prayers and fill us with your love, so we can go out and love others in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, it's a great joy to be inviting forward Dr. Fred Bonine. He's going to be sharing with us a stewardship message, a testimony about the work of Vena Dental Clinic. So Dr. Bonine, I would invite you to come forward, please. Let's welcome him.
Thank you. It's good to be home. Once upon a time, Gil Miller preached from this pulpit. Would you really know if God was talking to you? Dick Cheatham preached in the Now Fellowship Hall, translating theologically the Holy Spirit of the Trinity to the word inspiration. Gil would say, would you really know if God was talking to you? Once upon a time, an odd combination of a longtime Methodist, historically Quaker, oral surgeon, and a Jewish Indian orthodontist looked at each other, and the orthodontist said, hey, I'd like to start a clinic for the poor. And the oral surgeon said, hey, I'd like to start a clinic for the poor. The orthodontist said, I don't know where we could have it, but I think I know who we could get to work in it. And the oral surgeon said, I think I know where we could have it. I don't know where we'd get somebody to work in it. Before an ad board meeting of this church, before my excursion into local missionary work, which has left me a member in absentia, my apologies, I turned to Harry Davis, and those of you who will remember Harry knew that, and forgive me with the masks, is Carol here? But Harry was charming. He was a University of Michigan dentist. He was a patron in the community. He'd been school board president, and Harry was so close to Vern Hochul and this church. And before this ad board, I said to Harry, I'm thinking about a dental clinic. What do you think about the old parsonage? We were on the long-range planning committee for that together. He paused. He had this uncanny ability, and I don't know where the button was, but he could hit this button and his eyes would twinkle at you. He leaned forward, he hesitated, and he said, let's do it. That was in the spring, I think, of 2007. By September of 2007, we had raised $250,000, innumerable contributions in service, commitment, legal. We got our R2, D2, C3PO, whatever tax thing that is. The architect stepped forward, heating and cooling stepped forward, the men with tools stepped forward. You christen a dental clinic not with a bottle of champagne on the corner of the building, but with a bottle of fluoridated water. You don't cut a ribbon, you cut the dental floss, and Congressman Mike Rogers obliged. But with one of our patients, I'm so bad with names, I make my staff wear name tags. I think it's Sally or Susie. I remember her story, 62, widower, lived on $9,000 a year, and needed 6 teeth out and a denture. She would get all her food from cleaners, she would get her essentials from Salvation Army, and she would work to cover her rent and her heating and cooling. She was that patient who we targeted. It is the working poor. Livingston County, one of the most affluent counties in the state of Michigan, a population of about 190,000, has approximately 30,000 who are asset-limited, income-challenged employee. They are the invisible. They have toothaches just like you and me. They suffer just like you and me. They have no place to turn. We have persisted doing hundreds of thousands of dollars annually. We run about a $250,000 budget, and the production of dentistry is about $650 a year annually. I thank the board members of our church who have helped serve on that board and help push it forward, because we are reaching out. We have expanded to include veterans, creating a program with the University of Michigan to augment our manpower, but more importantly, to teach service mentality. We currently invited a fourth-year dental student to sit on the board his last year. He's a reserve major now in the U.S. Army, two tours, a tour in the Mideast, West Point kid, and he wants to go into his community someday and do something like this. What a better way to learn. I work with the interns. I have my Vena days. I cancel everything, and our office is dedicated to serving this population. I've hosted the Oral Surgery Club and had aspiring high aptitudes work for a day. I get to teach, I get to mentor, I get to come with zeal in taking care of these people. There is nothing more rewarding in my life than somebody who has nothing and hugs you and thanks you. These people have nothing. This year, I think I've already done $250,000 in oral surgery services for the poor. I don't say that braggingly, because there are days when I have my Vena days, when I come, and on the ride in, I'll pick up treats for the staff for giving. I pay them, but everybody loves sugar, and treats for the interns. And I wept one time that there would be a day I would not be able to do this. So in a time when we help those around us, voices asked me, would I really know? I saw the synergy of human spirit, which in this room we can describe as the church. The inspiration from God. And I thank you for your support for Vena as well.
Thank you, Dr. Bonine, for sharing about the impactful work and the incredible ministry of the Vena Dental Clinic, for the dream that dates back several years ago now, and talking about the lives that have been touched by the generosity of this congregation. Your financial generosity, but your generosity of time and talents as well. So thank you for sharing the amazing story and the lives being touched. This morning, we'll turn to the gospel lesson as Tracy comes forward to read the gospel lesson for us. It's from the Gospel of John this morning. And I want to put into context a little bit of the scripture passage that we are hearing this morning as she reads these words from Jesus. I want to share that it's within the context of Jesus gathering with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he would give himself up for us. And there in the upper room, he washes the disciples' feet, and they will break bread. And in this context, he washes their feet, and he calls them to go forth to serve in his name and to share his love. So we fill the baptism font this morning with water, reminding us of our call to be servant leaders in the world today. Let us now hear the gospel lesson.
This is from John 13, 34 through 35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Tracy. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. As we hear this command to love you as and to love the world as you love us, may you strengthen us each and every day, that every action, every word, every deed, every thought, it might come from a place of love. Now, Holy Spirit, may you speak to me and through me that these words may be your words. Amen. Well, church, it's a great privilege to serve at this congregation, our Brighton campus, our Whitmore Lake campus. The Methodist Church is a beautiful body of wonderful people. And I'll have to tell you, I also grew up in a beautiful United Methodist Church, a fantastic congregation. The church that raised me was filled with passionate worship as well and disciple making and people serving in mission and justice and folks that really focused on living their faith out in the world, like our congregation does. I was formed and shaped and raised and influenced by many of my congregation growing up, and there was one husband-wife couple that particularly played a role in my faith journey. There was one faith couple named Ron and Lou that played an important role, and they have a beautiful story. They're deep people of faith, and they were missionaries for many, many years in the United Methodist Church, raising their children abroad, raising their children in a couple of African countries throughout their missionary service as they worked for peace and justice, as they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they really lived their lives, modeling Christ's example and love. So it was a great joy to get to know Ron and Lou really in my college years as this, and I knew them as this great couple that led the tech ministry in back like Jean does. This was a great couple that I knew that had a passion for missions and a couple that prayed for me often and always checked in on me on Sunday morning. Well, when I was finishing my senior year of college, I was thinking about going into the Peace Corps. And since they were former United Methodist missionaries, they approached me and said, Lindsay, we know that you're considering the Peace Corps, but maybe you would like to know about the US 2 program. The US 2 program is a United Methodist kind of version of the Peace Corps. It's a program for young adult missionaries serving between the ages of 20, 30 years of age. And you work in the continental U.S. and Hawaii and Puerto Rico and Alaska, and you work for peace and justice and advocacy and service. So I took their suggestion, and I switched from thinking Peace Corps, and I learned more about this young adult missionary program, and I applied to be a part of this service, liking the idea that the work that I did would be grounded in faith, out of a deep love to serve God. And 2 years of missionary service quickly went by at the Susanna Wesley Community Center. And throughout my time, Ron and Lou continued to be an important part of my faith journey. They prayed for me. They wrote letters to me. They asked how I was doing through my parents. And on the occasional trip home, they would check in on me. Well, as I was ending my missionary service and I was beginning to feel the stronger call to ordained ministry in the Methodist Church, I decided to enroll into seminary. I went to Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in the north side of Chicago. That's where John and I met, and I started my graduate studies there. Well, as you know, college, graduate school, or doctoral programs, they don't come cheap, do they? Education's expensive, and the same story is true with seminary. And as this young kid now, I was about 26 years old, I hardly had two nickels to rub together. I'd just gotten done being a missionary. It's not exactly a field where you make a lot of money from. But I was trusting God that God would somehow provide, and God did, and I entered seminary. Well, one way in which God provided was through the tremendous generosity of Ron and Lou. Actually, it was tremendous generosity, a gift that was given three times throughout those 3 years of seminary. They helped with the cost of books and a little bit of my tuition payment. And Ron and Lou, they shared their financial gifts. And I'll tell you, when I would receive a card in the mail and a check included, I could hardly believe it. They'd been missionaries themselves, again, not exactly a field, bringing in tons of financial dollars, not a career of great wealth, but yet, looking right before me, I would see a check of extravagant generosity that helped me answer God's call to ministry. When I think about the people that have inspired my faith journey, and you'll have an opportunity to think about that too on your card, certainly, Ron and Lou have inspired my faith journey. Who is it for you? Who is it? Is it a family member or a minister or a neighbor? Who is it that's inspired your faith journey in your lifetime as you think back? Certainly, one way in which Ron and Lou inspired me was directing me in the path of the missionary service, but it was also, and I was also so inspired as they modeled extravagant giving. And as you think about that person or people in your life that have influenced you, have they been a great model of financial giving and generosity as well? So throughout the month of October, we've been reading a book by Bishop Robert Schnazy. It's called Practicing Extravagant Generosity. There's a few more copies still available in the community room if you want to pick up a copy. They're free of cost to you. Or they've been coming in your email box bright and early at 5 a.m. if you like electronic copies. But we've been reading this book from Bishop Schnazy. It's really a daily devotional on readings about the grace of giving. And it's a devotional that I'd encourage our congregation to keep really opening up that email on every morning. Well, this morning's devotional is called First Things First. And Bishop Schnazy, he starts out his devotional, if you happen to read it. It starts out by saying, quote, "When asked how much money they would need to earn to be happy, people of all different incomes answer the same. If they could only earn about 20% more than they presently do, they would finally arrive at a satisfying happiness." So persons earning 10,000 dream of reaching 12,000, he writes. Those earning 100,000 believe that with just 20,000 more per year, then they will be happy. And people earning 500,000 believe that when they can earn 100,000 more, then they will finally arrive. And the daily devotional a little bit later on, he writes, "Extravagant giving is a means of putting God first, a method for declaring to God and to ourselves the rightful order of our priorities." He continues a little bit later and he says, "Every time we spend money, we make a statement about what we value." Isn't that so true? Every time we spend money, however we use our money, we make a statement about what we value. So church, I'm curious to know, who are those people in your life that have been a great inspiration or kind of those spiritual mentors? But I'd also like to ask another question today. what is it that you value? Bishop Snazy encourages us to think about, what are our financial priorities? Or are you satisfied by what you have? Or are you like so many in the book that he's talking about? Do you also long for having just 20% more? Thinking that if you did, then you would finally have all that you want. But Bishop Snazy, he writes that in this daily devotional, he challenges us to consider that really having 20% more isn't really what's going to make us happy. Instead, putting God first in our lives and living generously, that's going to bring out true joy. Now, happiness and joy, I think, are different things, but putting God first, living generously, being satisfied with what we have, that brings out true joy and true contentment in life. For when we put God first, when we invest in the values of discipleship values of Jesus Christ, when we're blessed to be a part of the great work that God's doing in this church and around the world, that work of creating community and transforming lives and sharing the love of God and bringing hope into the world, that brings about purpose and meaning and great joy. That brings about something great to be a part of. When I think back about the generosity that I received from Ron and Lou, I think back about the many lessons of their example of faith, and it certainly is someone that inspired me. And as I think about them, I think about their love, how they were incredible people, how they wanted to support my spiritual journey, my academic studies, and this call to be a clergy person in the Methodist Church. It was by their love that I grew in my understanding of what it means to be generous and to really see them putting God first. Not just something that we talk about, but to really see that in their life. They were putting God first, and they joyfully shared and they offered all that they had back to God any way that they possibly could. It was really by their love that I saw what it looks like to put God first. To make those connections and to see it so clearly. I learned about my financial priorities, that giving, that all that God has given me, that when I give, I'm able to be a part of that incredible work of transforming other people's lives. And to be a part of the blessing of building God's kingdom here and now. And to be a part of investing in other disciples' lives as they're growing in faith too. All because of a really amazing couple. Probably in your life, you can substitute out the names Ron and Lou and think of some other people that you might put, you know, names that you might lift up in your place. What's that name? Who's that person or people that come to mind? And how have they helped you become more extravagantly generous? The scripture lesson, the gospel that Tracy read for us this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, as I mentioned, comes within the context of Jesus gathering in the upper room as he's washed his disciples, illustrating and showing incredible servant leadership. I want us to hear it again. "I give you a new command," Jesus says. "I give you a new command that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love for one another. How are you demonstrating and showing that in your life each day? It's not hard for me to think about Ron and Lou living that out. It's by their example, I knew that they were followers of Jesus. They shared it so well with the world. It wasn't too hard to see that. By their love, I saw God at work. But the thing about love is, it's not always easy. The way of love isn't always easy. God will always call us to it, but the way of love is hard sometimes. It's a choice that we have to do. It's something that requires stuff of us. It's not just about echoing romantic phrases or saying heartfelt emotional things. To truly love requires us to put God first, and that's hard sometimes. to look not only at our own interests, but to the interests of other people. That's showing love, and that's hard to do sometimes. To love fully as Christ does, to be one willing to bend down and to wash the disciples' feet, to be a servant leader, that is what love looks like, and that's hard to do sometimes. But to love fully is also amazing. To give generously, to share joyfully, to offer all that we have back to God, that is a blessing. To not just echo phrases of praise or adoration, but to practice it in our life, that's a blessing. You know, it's pretty humbling to open up a card and to receive a nice note, and with it, a gift to make education possible. You know, it's one thing to extend that gift to somebody else, but it's something else to be a recipient of it. It's pretty humbling. It's pretty amazing. And I think Ron and Lou forever shaped how I view giving, and I clearly see that all I have is a gift from God. All that I seek to do is to be a gift to share that gift that God has given me back with the world, not to keep it to myself, not to clutch tightly to it, but to share it freely. And I think about Ron and Lou modeling that for me. And that's why I want to be a part of the work of this church. That's why I want to give. I want to give so that other people know God's amazing love and grace of Jesus Christ. I want to give so that God might work through us to transform the world. When we give, we're a part of something amazing. We're a part of children growing in their love through Sunday school or vacation Bible school. When we give, we're a part of teenagers going on retreats or summer mission trips or children being baptized and professing faith in Christ and confirmation. And I want to be a part of that. Don't you? When we share our tithes and our offerings to God through this church, we get to be a part of caring for people in the hospital and in the nursing home and sharing beautiful quilts and offering warm meals and bringing in coats that keep people warm in the winter. We get to be a part of mission and service and justice making. I want to be a part of that, don't you? And I want to give because there's something amazing that takes place during worship. To sing songs of praise together, thank you, Bill, for leading us in worship today. Or to hear the praise band lead us in songs. Or to hear the beautiful words of our hosts and our liturgists. I want to be a part of the great thing that God is doing in this place. And that's why I like to give. Realizing every gift I have is a gift. And I want to be a part of the mission and the ministry that's taking place at First United Methodist here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. So why do you give? Why do you give to this congregation? This day, may you be blessed to have a moment to think back about those spiritual mentors and leaders in your life that have made a difference. And may you be blessed to think how you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. How might you impact the world? Let's pray. Gracious God, knowing you is the key to extravagant generosity. The more we know you and experience your extravagant love for us, the more we want to bless others by generously giving of ourselves and our resources. And as we do, we not only change the lives of others, but our lives are transformed as well. So show us how we can improve our generosity and grow a little bit more and become even more extravagantly generous so that we can embrace it and it becomes easy like breathing. We ask you, Lord, to multiply our giving this day, to encourage us to grow in our capacity, to take that one step further, to give even just a few dollars more every month, because, Lord, it's impacted lives is what it represents, and it's love that's shared. Through Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let us now continue in a spirit of prayer.
Good morning. Before we go into the community prayer, I want to have us lift up the names of the prayer quilt recipients for today. We are praying over quilts for Charisma, Donna, and a beloved child of God. Lift up your hand, if you will, and send your prayers with me toward these quilts. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that every fiber in the fabric of these quilts transmits the love of this congregation toward these recipients that we're praying for today. As they wrap themselves around these quilts, let them know of your love and give them continued reassurance that you are always with them. Comfort them as they continue on through their struggles. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this is the week for the urban family that the effects of COVID settled on us. And even though we've been living with it for a year and a half and doing what we're supposed to be doing, finally it rang home, and two of our five grandchildren were sent home from school with COVID. They're fine. Proof that they're fine is that I saw a picture of Liam with a bowl full of ice cream and cookies that a kind neighbor had dropped by thinking he needed them to bolster him up. And Ophelia sent me a text and said, "Mimi, today I stood on my head for 18 seconds. So I think they're okay. I think that hardest hit Don and I, who are perfectly fine. We actually went out of town for a couple days because we were awaiting test results, although we were sure we were fine. The parents are all fine. But the disruption is what gets us, isn't it? You know it'll all come out in the end, but you're just not sure how. And the anxiety of worrying about everybody else, for one thing, is what finally led me to understand what others have been struggling through for the last year and a half. This is the closest it's come to us. So with that in mind, that's how where my prayers were resting this week, and probably many of yours. Please pray with me. Good and gracious God, you are the Almighty, the everlasting, the constant in our lives. You are there for us to seek out, and also there when we're not paying attention. We give you praise and thanks for this presence in our lives. The beauty of our natural world reminds us daily of the excellence of your creative powers. And we know you have given us the strength to get through our very difficult moments in the past year. The work of our mission teams, our outreach, our ministries, our music and worship, the Vena Clinic, they're all inspired by you. We're blessed with good leadership here at First Church, as well as skilled and caring volunteers acting as your hands and your feet. But God, we're laid low by illness and worries and exhaustion too, and it's also you then that we turn to for comfort and a listening ear. We know that we're blessed with abundance, God, but we also see in our community and others that people are having a very difficult time. Many families are so stretched, they may need help with heating their homes this winter. And we pray for those who are experiencing hunger and the impact of climate change. We want to help fill those needs, and so we gather for a crop walk, contributing to bountiful harvest, helping with the torch. But God, we also want to help affect the solutions to the systemic imbalance between the haves and have-nots in the world. Inspire us to see those needs and speak up for those whose voices can't be heard. We're praying for those who are ill or have lost a loved one. Give them comfort and hope. We pray for those who are dealing with disruptions in their lives, whether it be family issues work changes, education concerns, also those struggling with mental health issues and depression. We're praying for all our frontline heroes who are continuing to place the well-being of others ahead of themselves. Our healthcare workers, our teachers, our firemen, law enforcement, military workers, everyone who keeps our communities going. Not the least of these is our church leaders as they gather for district meetings. Strengthen us all, Father, when we feel discouraged and overwhelmed. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Help us to focus on the things we can do and not the missed opportunities. Help us to grow in our faith and resolve to continue being your hands and your feet wherever we can. We come to you now, God, in this quiet time of our own to share what's on our mind and in our heart that we need to talk about to you. May we all continue to seek you always, God, no matter what we're facing. We know the greatest friend of all, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us, that we might share our offerings and tithes and gifts at this time. It is a blessing to give, for when we give, incredible ministries like the Vena Dental Clinic take place. When we give, lives are transformed. May we be those spiritual mentors and leaders that make an impact in this world. Amen.
Lord God, we thank you for loving us unconditionally. In gratitude, we offer our time, our talents, our money, and ourselves to answer the call to love one another. Help us to be generous in all things, especially with the gift of love. Amen.
Church, as we leave this time of worship, I would encourage you to fill out your yellow card and think about who's inspired you in your faith journey. And then on the way out, if you'd like to help us fill the petals of the sunflowers to tell the story of our church. If you weren't with us physically in the building last week, there's also cards out there if you'd like to share what it is that you love about our church as well. Help us to tell the story of the good work that God is doing in this place. And now may we go forth with the love of God in our hearts, ready to serve Jesus with our hands, passionately in all that we do. Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.